الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله يا رسول الله يا رسول الله يا رسول الله يا رسول الله قدم الصلاة قدم الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
سوف ندرس في المانيجي قبل شوية دروس. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
استغفر الله
Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the lessons of hadith from Riyadh al-Salihin will take place. There's a request to participate. Inshallah, we'll get dua kibar darsa hadith hoga. So the Shaykh Fatima, inshallah, fayda hoga. So now, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد الحمد لله my respected brothers elders last week we started this chapter باب ذكر الموت وقصر الأمل the chapter which discusses the mention of death and the decreasing in a person's aspirations, if they are not religious aspirations and religious plans, then a person should decrease in them. You shouldn't have too many worldly aspirations, but more dini aspirations. That I want to increase in good actions, good a'mal, my knowledge, in my closeness to Allah Ta'ala, in certain certain things that I've not managed to do in life yet. Someone who hasn't gone for Hajj says, I want to go for Hajj. Hasn't been for Umrah, say, I wish to go for Umrah. Whatever the case might be. So in these things we increase, but in terms of dunyawi and worldly aspirations and hopes, a person decreases in them. So this bab, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, this chapter he has established. So we went through the ayat of the Quran last week, so we'll just go through a few hadith inshaAllah. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمنكبي فقال كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل وكان ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما يقول إذا أمسيت فلا تنتظر الصباح وإذا أصبحت فلا تنتظر المساء وخذ من صحتك لمرضك ومن حياتك لموتك رواه البخاري. سيدنا عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما narrates that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم took hold of my shoulders. He held me by the shoulders and he said, "Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib." That stay in this dunya, remain in this dunya as if you are a stranger. Aw aabiru sabil, or as if you are a musafir, a traveler. So this was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith. So this holding by the shoulder, the ulama says, to grip the attention. It's like in different times Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use different do different things to grip the attention of the listener. Sometimes he would say something, "Ala ukhbirukum," should I inform you of something? And the Sahaba would say, "Yes, inform us, O Messenger of Allah." But one is, I just sit down and just deliver a piece of advice. Now nobody's listening, people won't respond to it or benefit from it in that way. One is, should I tell you something important? Say, "Yes, tell us." It's like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned the hadith to a Sahabi, Sayyidina Abu Sahal al-Sa'di. Abu Sa'd al-Sa'idi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the Sahaba. So he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held me by the hand and he said, "Should I tell you the greatest surah in the Quran?" I said, "Of course, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me the greatest surah in the Quran." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I'll tell you before we leave the masjid." And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not telling him anything, got busy with other things. So the Sahabi thing, "I want to know the greatest surah in the Quran." So just before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leaving the masjid, he said, "Ya Rasulullah, you told me you're going to tell me the greatest surah in the Quran, what is it?" So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that the Sahabi he wants to know. But just to build that interest and that, pique that interest, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delayed this response until the Sahabi is fully focused, that when I tell him now, he will fully take benefit. So similarly, here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gripping by the shoulders. So we see if something important message is to be mentioned, important advice is to be delivered, it's crucial that we have the listener's attention. If you don't have the listener's attention, then it'll just go over their head. And so it's very important, if it's and it's also important that we don't make precious pieces of advice too long. Especially nowadays, nobody has attention for too long. Everyone's attention span is limited. Not just children, adults, everyone. So see, when you wake up in the morning, don't go on your phone, TikTok, this and that. It's all the dopamine. We have no attention span. We can't listen to something for too long. So if you want to deliver a precious piece of advice, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us so many years ago, that keep it short, keep it brief, and keep it powerful. That try, think about what you say before you say it. Plan it, that what is the best way for me to pass this message on. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving this Jawami'ul Kalim, one sentence, subhanAllah, you can just take out so many messages from it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grips him by the shoulders, and then he says, "Oh Abdullah, kun fi dunya, stay in this dunya like you are gharib, like you are a stranger. Aw aabiru sabil, or like you are a musafir, a traveler." Stranger is in an unfamiliar place. He won't do much activity there. He won't buy many things there. He won't make himself too comfortable there, because he still hasn't got his bearings of the place. He doesn't know if he'll be there for a long time. It's not a familiar place for him. When he becomes familiar, then he settles down. But till he's not familiar, he won't just start buying everything, doing everything, because anything can change at any moment. Like our ancestors, they came to this country as gharib. Not gharib as in poor, they were poor as well. They were gharib as well. But they came as strangers. So they always thought their time will come, we're going to go back home. So they were careful about what they bought. A lot of them would share one house and all of these type of things, thinking one day we're going to leave all this and go probably. But then as time with the second generation, third generation, we're not gharib anymore. We are now British. Our study is a British born, British bred. It's like you, British, everything, our interests, our passions, the things that we enjoy, everything is like this now. We only know this, we don't know anything else. So now we're not gharib anymore, now we're comfortable and we buy and we settle and we expand and we invest and we do everything we have to do. We think we're here forever, which is not a wise idea. We do it anyway, right? Anyway, so Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, gharib, stay like a gharib, a stranger. He's not sure if he's going to settle down here or not. So he's very cautious as to what he does, what he buys. أَوْ عَابِرُ سَبِيلٌ Or like a traveler, musafir. He's gone somewhere. How many of us have been for holiday, go to a hotel? You know what, I left my jumper at home. I left my jacket at home. Should I buy another jumper? Should I buy another jacket? I've got plenty of jackets at home. Why am I going to spend money and buy a jumper here? I'll get a bit of cold, it doesn't matter. I'll go home and I'll wear my jumper. Right? Some other things, I think, you know what, leave it. I'm not going to spend money on this because I want to go back home. Everything's at home. Why am I going to buy this? I've got it at home. So our mind is always connected. The traveler is connected. Mind is always connected to his house, his home. I'm going to go there. Whatever is happening here, even if something goes a bit wrong, but travel is going to finish anyway. The journey is going to finish anyway. I was just in Umrah and we had certain ups and downs in certain things. So I just consoled myself. The journey is going to finish. We're going to go back home. When we go back home, all of this drama will finish. And that's how a Muslim has to live in this dunya. It's just part of the journey. Forget it. Don't worry about it. We're going to go back home. That's why in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, حُبُّ الْوَطَنِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ The love of a person's homeland is part of Iman. Different scholars have interpreted in different ways. They say, you know, the place that you're born and bred, you should have some kind of like a patriotism and attachment to it. But many scholars have said, look, it's not a simple message. It's a deeper message. That your true home is Jannah. So the love of Jannah is from Iman. That my parents were from there. My ancestors were from there. We were outcasted or expelled into the dunya for a temporary time frame. And then Allah Ta'ala used that expulsion to test us to see how we actually earn and achieve and are deserving of Jannah. And then we can go back there. We're going to go back there. That's where I want to go back. That's my true home. And this is exactly how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to live his life. Anything of the dunya, he would say, you know what, in Jannah it'll be better. This, in Jannah it'll be better. I don't need this, I'm going to get it in Jannah. Look at this, Sayyidina, the Sahaba coming into the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting up, he's lying down on a straw mat, and the marks from that mat are etched into his back, and tears come into the eyes of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you are greater and closer to Allah than all these kings and rulers and emperors, and they are sleeping on such, you know, luxurious cushions and beddings, and you're sleeping on a straw mat. Please give us permission, we'll get, you know, a good bedding and everything set up for you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Umar, do you want it to be that I go to Jannah and I have nothing there? I don't care. In this dunya, if I live in difficulty, I don't care because I know everything is there in Jannah. That's my home. It's like I'm a traveler. Why should I invest in something here when everything should be invested there? So I get the best over them. If I go in the hotel, I'm staying in a hotel. Some people say on the 5-star hotel, very expensive. The person says, it's just a journey anyway. 5 days, 6 days, I'm staying, I'll stay in a simple hotel. I'm going to go back home. I've got my comfortable bed back home. Someone says, oh, this, you've got a TV in your hotel room, it's black and white or whatever, it's so small, it's not HD. Don't care. This is a bad example about the TV, but chalo, I've got it at home. Everything's better at home. So I don't care, just 2-3 days, I'll have sabr, patience. I'm not here for the hotel anyway. What am I here for? My holiday or my trip or my whatever it is. So similarly, we're here in this dunya, not for the purpose of living, for the purpose of pleasing Allah Ta'ala and earning that Jannah. So the living is our necessity. So whatever is a necessity should be done in a manner where we regard it to be a necessity, not beyond that. So look, this hadith is very important. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhumah, subhanAllah, he lived his life like this. Such a simple. I mentioned in Jummah Bayan about Sayyidina Salim bin Abdullah, the son of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, that someone came to see him, a group of people. And when they came to see him, they had traveled from Egypt and he lived in Medina Munawwara, and he was known as one of the great scholars of Medina Munawwara. They came to his house and they saw and they said, where's Salim? Where does Salim live? So someone said, you know what, he lives over there. And he's a very, you know, broken down hut, broken down home. They came and they could hear the sound of a camel from inside the house. So they said, Assalamu alaikum. And a person came out, he's very dark in color, right? And he was wearing woolen clothes, very poor quality clothes, very poor quality. Suf, that's why you have the Sufis. The Sufi, the people who got close to Allah Ta'ala, they would wear the most inferior type of clothes to show this detachment from the dunya. So he was wearing the suf clothes, the very thick, and when you sweat they get very smelly, right? Woolen clothes, coarse clothes. And he said his hands were so rough, you know, like a builder's hands, laborer's hands. You know, a person whose hands are rough, you know they've been doing a lot of hard work. And he came out and he said, who are you looking for? They said, go and call your master. Go and call your master. They thought he's the slave. He said, go and call your master. He said, who are you looking for? Tell me. He said, we're looking for Salim. He said, I'm Salim. What do you want? They're shocked. They said, we've come to ask you some questions. He said, sit down. Ask me a question. Sit down. So they sat down and they said, we were looking at his hands and they were covered with the blood of the camel. So he was just tending to the camel, looking after the camel. It was so informal, he doesn't care what they think about him. He said, you want to ask me questions? Sit down, let's ask. So they said, we sat down and asked him questions. And they say, Sayyidina Salim's hands were so coarse, and his father, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu's hands used to be very coarse as well. Meaning you can tell from his hands, he does a lot of hard work. He doesn't live life in a very luxurious way. He does everything for himself, and he lives life in a very difficult manner. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu used to say that إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الصَّبَاحِ. When you go to sleep at night, then don't wait for morning. And when morning comes, then don't wait for nightfall. He's explaining this hadith, that living this dunya like a traveler or a stranger means that when it's morning, don't wait for night time. If I've got anything to do, do it now. Don't think I'll do it at night time. And you don't even wait that much, because you don't even have that much barosa, you don't even have that much guarantee that you're going to live till that night. And if it's night time and you've got some good amal to do, I haven't read my para today, I haven't done this, do it now, because you've got no guarantee that you're going to wake up in the morning. So he's explaining the hadith, that this is what this hadith means. And then, وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَّتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ. As long as Allah has given you health, take advantage of your health before illness comes. And وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. Take advantage of your life before death comes. Don't ever get lazy. And all these ahadith here, we understand, it's about laziness. Don't get lazy. Don't give in to dunya. Don't think that, you know what, this is it. Enjoy, experience. I was mentioning the other day, it's like my son was asking me a question. The other day we were traveling from, coming from my house, and he was saying, you know, when we go to Jannah, he said, will we be able to see the earth? No, he said, is Jannah above in the sky? I said, no, Jannah is in a different place. He goes, Jannah is in a different place? Because it's not in the sky. I go, no. He goes, so how are we going to go there? Are we going to teleport there? And I go, no, I don't know how to answer these questions. I said, I don't know. I go, no, we're not going to teleport there. I said, Allah is going to destroy the world. He goes, so you're not going to be able to see the earth from Jannah? I go, no, the earth's going to be destroyed. Nothing's going to be left. And he was shocked, and he was just quiet, like pondering over it. But I started to ponder over that, you know what? Everything around me, it's like an arena, you know. And then I was giving the example in class. I was saying, you know, when you have the World Cup finals, so you have the World Cup final in Qatar, they build all these stadiums just for the sake of World Cup final. As soon as the football is finished, those stadiums get abandoned. Nobody uses them, millions of pounds are spent on them, and they get closed, shut down. When we went to Bosnia and we went to Olympic finals where they took place in 1970-something, it's all broken, and there's shrubbery and greenery and grass there. Nobody's ever going to use that again in their life. You wouldn't even know that there was a stadium here. But this is the nature of this dunya. It's built as a stadium. It's a place where we are here, put here, we're doing actions, and we're just being monitored. You know, recorded. And time will come, Allah Ta'ala say, destroy dunya, finished, all destroyed. And now a person who just did everything for this dunya will say, Ya Allah, that's everything gone. Because I did everything for this place, but it was just an arena. It was just a place that Allah Ta'ala had created to test me. Allah is the one who created life, the concept of life, and the concept of death to test you. Death was created, maut, Allah created it to test us. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala is going to slaughter it. Maut is going to be brought like a ram, an animal, and it's going to be zaba is going to take place of it. After today, there is no more death. Death was made by Allah as a test for us. And death's going to be finished. Everything's going to be finished. And the person will say, Ya Allah, only for me ya'mal mithqala dharratin khayran yara, wa man ya'mal mithqala dharratin sharran yara. If I did atom's weight of good, alhamdulillah, I did this good deed. Atom's weight of bad, Ya Allah, I wish I stayed away from that bad deed. I can see it today. I made such a loss today. I made such a khasara today. Such a huge loss today. وعنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما حق امرئ مسلم له شيء يوصي فيه يبيت ليلتين إلا ووصيته مكتوبة عنده متفق عليه وفي رواية للمسلمين يبيت ثلاث ليال قال ابن عمر ما مرت علي ليلة منذ سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ذلك إلا وعندي وصيتي. Again, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that it is the haqq of every single Muslim, it is the right of every single Muslim, meaning it is necessary, zaruri upon every single Muslim that 2 days do not pass by, 2 nights do not go by, except that his wasiyat, his will is written and it is with him. It is written with him, his will. Meaning every Muslim mentally should be so prepared for death that his will should be written. 2 nights should not even pass by that your will is not written. And in one narration, Imam Muslim rahmatullahi mentions 3 nights. 3 nights should not pass by except that you have your will written, prepared, that if I die, this is my wasiyat, this is my will. And then Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar narrating this hadith, he mentioned his practice. With the hadith, he mentions his own amal. He says that a single night of my life has not passed by since Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this to me, except that I have my will ready with me. Anytime I will die, and I have my wasiyah. Subhanallah, the ulama say, but look, wasiyatun maktubatun. In those days, the will which is written. In those days, most people did not know how to read and write. Most people could not write. So they say what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam means by will written is that you go through the official process of you get someone to witnesses to sit down and say, look, these are the most important things that need to happen. As soon as, if I die today, these things need to happen. So you have your, what do you call them? The person who carries out your will. A subsidiary, what do you call them? There's a term for it in English. The person who carries out your will. I've forgotten, there's the term for it in English, right? The person who fulfills your will or carries out your will. So you have this person, someone trustworthy, someone that you can have more than one person, that these, but generally they make one person. What is it called? Executor, executor, I think it's executor, right? The person who's going to carry out your will and is going to ensure that it's fulfilled properly. And making sure that the witnesses are there present to say, yes, we were there when he wrote this will down, and this is the person that he made the executor of his will, of his estate, that when he passes away, this person is going to carry it out. So this is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, not such a small matter, that you just write it and put it under your pillow and then you die and nobody knows. Nobody knows what you left, where you, or they read it and they don't know what you're trying to say. You have to go through the official process of some people know what to do. Because this is how prepared a Muslim has to be. That if I've got certain zakat I haven't paid or certain things I haven't done, matters which will affect me when I die, certain debts which I owe people, they're going to affect me when I die, those things have to be written. Similarly, even if it's wasiyah, that bequest, like from my inheritance, 1/3 I have the option to bequeath it and put it in different places. So I write all these things down. I'm prepared. From this hadith, certain people have taken it literally to say that it's wajib. That if you're a Muslim, 2-3 nights haven't gone by and you don't have your will ready, you're in trouble. You're sinful. Most ulama say no. It's not wajib. It's not wajib, it's mandub, it's recommended. The purpose of the hadith is to show preparation of death. A Muslim shouldn't think of death as a far away thing. Someday in the future I'll die. He should think of death as it can happen today, it can happen tomorrow. And so prepared for death. You know, there's a great Indian saint, Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Majzub, rahmatullahi alayhi. He had this poem called Marsiya of Death. Marsiya of Mawt. And as the Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi, would read it in his majlis every week. It's a long poem. It's Urdu. It's so powerful. I'm just seeing if I can get it. So powerful, subhanAllah. If I read a few couplets, we understand. I used to read it before, but then I got lazy probably. So it's reminding you so that we don't forget death. The mood can happen now. You know, subhanAllah, this incident in Gaza or this situation in Gaza, one thing it has done for me, I don't know about your brothers here, it has opened my eyes to the reality of death. You know, death, there was a time when people were dying all the time. People die in childbirth, people die from illnesses, all these different types of things. Nowadays, you don't hear people dying, an elderly person dying, well, this person has passed away, his janazah is on this day. But with the Gaza situation, people, every single day, pictures, children dead, 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 dead. It just opened my eyes to the reality of, Ya Allah, if these people are all going now, I could just, you know, there is no preparation, they're not ready, they're sleeping and they're being bombed and five people all dead and all the children dead and the parents dead and the brothers dead and sisters dead and this is the only surviving person, everyone younger than them is dead. And you just think, you know what, this is it. This is haqiqat, because that person who's dead, he's not really dead, he's alive. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتْ بَلْ أَحْيَا. Don't say about someone who's killed in the path of Allah, he's dead. He's actually alive. He's just transferred over. He's just gone to the real life. So they're going so quick. I could just be next. And the more you look at these pictures of children bent over, you know, and their bodies and all of this, do you think, you know what, if these children, masoom children, are going so quickly, Allah Ta'ala is taking them. Take these ones, take these ones, take these ones, take these ones. Angel of death is so busy taking all these souls. My turn could just be around the corner. My turn could just be around the corner. It's the haqiqat. And when we think about these things, then you think, you know what, life is not for enjoying. Life is serious. The Muslim is serious. Not to say we be, you know, we can't smile, but life is serious, as in this is it. Anytime we'll go, advising and with wisdom trying to explain to the people around us, we're going to go. Don't get too invested into the dunya, we're going to go. Look at all these children that are going. One day I'm old. If I'm 30, 40, 50, I'm old. Which day I'm going to go? It can be very soon. So preparation. I'm going to find this inshallah and then... Anyway, so this wasiyah. So it's not a wajib. We should understand from the hadith, it's not wajib. Meaning it's something that we should do, meaning the preparation of death. We should be ready. Anytime we need to go, and then there's a big issue after we die, because nothing's organized. Right? My death. People. We had a brother in Oldham who passed away. When he passed away, that's it. And he left all kids behind. Children. The eldest child was probably about 30 years old, but then after that, were children, very young. Father died. And then people are knocking at the door. Your dad owes us this much money. Your dad owes us this much money. He owes us this much money. He owes this much money. Everything, to the extent that the house they live in apparently doesn't belong to their dad. The children have no idea. And they're all working. And daughters. And one son and all daughters. Everybody's working, trying to pay off the father's debts. So this is a lack of preparation. When I die, I don't want to leave such a mess behind. So be prepared. Death can come at any time. All of your matters need to be very clear. For yourself. For yourself. So that I am safe in the akhirah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned someone who has qarz and he passes away, it's a very dangerous situation if he doesn't clear his qarz. He'll be in azab in the grave. He'll be in a very difficult predicament. Even someone who is shaheed and martyred in the path of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, qarz is not forgiven, debt is not forgiven. He has to make arrangements for that debt to be fulfilled. And subhanAllah, if a person is trying and they got the intention to fulfill it, we shouldn't get hopeless. I've got such a huge debt, how am I going to fulfill it? Sayyidina Zubayr radiallahu anhu, when he passed away, he had 2 million rupees. 2 million dinars of debt. He said to his son, Abdullah bin Zubayr, oh Abdullah, got 2 million dinars debt. And then he passed away, became shaheed in the battle of Jamal. And his son said, before he passed away, his son said, well, my father, how am I going to pay this off? I'm not rich. I don't have the money. He said, don't worry. And he said, my father was so generous. He was too generous. He just kept giving. He would borrow to give to people. So most of the debt that he had was for other people, trying to help other people. So he said, father, what should I do? He said, don't worry, you just do what you can, and whenever you get stuck, say, Ya Rabba Zubayr, Iqdi Dayna Zubayr. Oh, the Lord of Zubayr, fulfill the debt of Zubayr. Fulfill that, just make this dua. Whenever you get stuck and you don't know a way out, make this debt, don't worry, Allah will handle it. And he became shaheed, the father, and he left such a huge debt on his son. And his son, subhanAllah, great pious sahabi, and he's not, you know, big businessman. So I tried to do it. But many times I would get so stuck. I think, how am I going to pay this off? People are coming and they're demanding and they're asking for what they owed. He said, I just make this dua that my father taught me. Ya Rabba Zubayr, Iqdi Dayna Zubayr. Oh, the Lord of Zubayr, fulfill the debt of Zubayr. And Allah Ta'ala will open the door. And because in very short period of time, I had paid off the whole 2 million dinars. Then this is the haqiqat. So we don't get hopeless. We have barosa upon Allah Ta'ala, trust. As long as the person didn't borrow money for the wrong reasons. Someone borrowed money for a wrong reason, for a sinful thing, they need to make tawbah, istighfar, and work hard to get that fulfilled. Person borrowed money to look after their family for a valid reason, something which inshallah is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. Don't stress. We just do what we can do and inshallah Allah Ta'ala will handle the rest. So we'll do this last hadith inshallah. Don't make the lesson very long. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال خط النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطوطا فقال هذه الأمل وهذا أجل. Do you have a pen and paper? Anyone have a pen and paper? هذه الأمل وهذا أجله فبينما هو كذلك إذ جاء الخط الأقرب. وعن ابن مسعود رواه البخاري. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال خط النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مربعا وخط خطا في الوسط خارجا منه وخط خططا صغارا إلى هذا الذي في الوسط من جانبه الذي في الوسط. فقال هذا الإنسان وهذا أجله محيطا به أو قد أحاط به وهذا الذي هو خارج أجله وهذه الخطط الصغار الأعراض فإن أخطأه هذا نهشه هذا وإن أخطأه هذا نهشه هذا. رواه البخاري. سيدنا أنس رضي الله عنه mentions النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and you don't even say practical demonstration, practical examples. Nowadays everybody says if you can't even hear something it doesn't make sense to me. When I see something practically demonstrated I fully understand it. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم that time was doing practical demonstrations. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew some lines. And then he said, هذه الأمل, this is your hopes and aspirations for the future. I'll do it, inshallah. وهذا أجله, and this is a person's life. فبينما هو كذلك, while he is busy in this life, hoping for those aspirations that he's going to try and do these in the future, all of a sudden, إذ جاء الخط الأقرب, the closest line, meaning his death comes and he dies. And the next narration is more detailed. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu says, خَطَّ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُرَبَّعًا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a square. Right? And the scholars in the books, in the commentaries of hadith have actually differed on how the square was drawn. But this is the most accepted one Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi mentions. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew مُرَبَّع, means a squared line. Right? And then, وَخَطَّ هَطًا فِي الْوَسَطِ خَارِجًا مِنْ. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a line in the middle, which was going out. So this would have been on the ground. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a line which was going out of the square. And then, وَخَطَّ خُطَطًا صِغَارًا. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew small lines like this. إِلَى هَذَا الَّذِي فِي الْوَسَطِ, towards the one which is in the middle. مِنْ جَانِبِهِ الَّذِي فِي الْوَسَطِ, from the middle going downwards. So he drew all these small lines like this. Right. And then he said, هَذَا الْإِنسَانِ. He said, this is the human being. This middle line, he said, this is the human being. وَهَذَا أَجَلُهُ مُحِيطًا بِهِ. And this is his life which has surrounded him. This is his life. So this is the human being, the middle line. And this is his life which has surrounded him. Right? And these small lines, وَهَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ خَارِجٌ أَجَلُهُ. And this line which is on, this line which is on the outside is his death. This is where he's going to die. This is where he's going to die. وَهَذِهِ الْخُطَطُ الصِّغَارُ الْأَعْرَاضِ. And these small lines that we see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these are a'raad, these are peshani wali cheez. Matlab, things that will happen in his life. So scholars say, good things, bad things. Whatever will happen in his life are these things. So he's going to go through his life, and he's going to go through different experiences. Good days, bad days, good times, bad times. فَإِنْ أَخْطَأُ هَذَا. If he misses one of those things, نَهَشَهُ هَذَا. The other one will. نَهَش in Arabic actually means, you know, a poisonous snake when he bites. نَهَش means that. If one of them misses him, the other one will bite him and grip him. Meaning there are so many things in life, certain things he might avoid, certain bad days, certain accidents, certain incidents, certain good opportunities, but then the other one will definitely grip him. There are lots of things Allah Ta'ala has set for every single person in their life. If you miss one, the other one will get you. If you miss the other one, the other one will get you. So you're going to go through life like this. And then this line which is outside, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَهَذَا أَمَلُهُ. These are his aspirations. And this line actually, I don't have enough paper for it, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam drew it very long. So he's going to live in this box. And in the box, he's going to hit and miss the things which Allah has planned for him. And outside he's got all these aspirations that he wants to get there, but before he gets there, his finish line will come and he will die. And loads of things will be left that he wished he could have done. He wished he had achieved, he wished he had acquired, but they will not ever take place. These are just things in his mind. That's why one of the poets used to say, all these, did he say? Beautifully, I've forgotten. He said, these amal, these aspirations, because these are just waswas in your mind. Shaitan's whisperings in your mind, you can do this, you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do this. Unless they are deen and religious aspirations, then you go for it. Because just for having a religious aspiration, you get reward. I will memorize the Quran, that's my intention, that's my aspiration for the future. I'm going to get reward for that aspiration and for whatever effort I do towards that. And one is dunyawi aspirations. I want to do this as well, I want to get this as well, I want to buy that as well. Whatever the case might be, these are just waswasas from shaitan to distract us from life itself. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, a time will come when this is it. Cut off point and all these aspirations. And you know the scholars also say, why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draw the line which is outside connected to the life? He said, because this is how important it is to the human being, these things. These things are so important to the human being that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew them in the line of the human being. The other things that might not be important, you might not plan them. Allah Ta'ala has planned for you this to happen to you. You didn't plan it and you fell into it. Good time, good thing. Good thing happened in your life, you didn't plan it. Bad thing happened in your life, you didn't plan it. But this is, you planned it. This was part and parcel of who you were as a person. I am studying for this. I am working toward this. I am making efforts to do this. So this is how important these things were for you, but you could never get there. Allah had not written them for you. So before you could get there, you die. Is everyone understanding the example? SubhanAllah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew this on the ground and he said, this is the reality of a person's life. Chalo, inshallah, I think we'll stop there. Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability, tawfiq, to prepare for death before we pass away. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك